You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
It's Wednesday, so it's time for Wayne on Wednesday. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg. Wayne, we haven't spoken for a couple of weeks. We've had JSE-listed companies coming out with all their results. I think that's the June year-end companies and half-year-end companies. Yes. What's been your overall impression?
Well, I suppose mixed bag again, I would think. Certainly, Standard Bank's results were very, very good. Bidcorp's results today were exceptionally good. I mean, this is truly a fantastic company. But then we've had companies like Sea Harvest a bit disappointing. And Master Drill is also maybe a little bit disappointing. The Advatec and Stadio results were quite good. So I suppose on balance, they were actually reasonable.
Have you noticed that there's been the small mid-cap companies have started to do a little bit better, and that's all to do with an economic cycle which suggests there'll be an interest rate cut and they start to do well when that sort of thing happens? Is that a theory?
Yes, that's a very good assumption to make, yes. And I mean, essentially our whole market's doing it because we're at record highs here. I mean, the financials are definitively, I mean, maybe not there today, but they have certainly had very strong runs since, you know, I suppose the end of May. They've done extremely well. So yes, the market is anticipating better days ahead, lower interest rates, et cetera, et cetera. It's only really the mining shares. Now that's obviously distorted by gold, but it's only really the mining shares that essentially have done nothing since April.
Yeah.
So they haven't run up yet.
No, not yet. But I think once the interest rate cuts come in the United States of America, and the theory being that the US dollar will fall, and the theory being then that once the stockpiles have been drawn down in countries like, well, not countries like China, in China, then we should start to see some demand for commodities. And this long malaise that we've suffered will come out the woods quite soon, I would imagine. Is that your theory? Again, the word theory. Is that your theory?
Yeah, that's exactly what I think, is that commodity shares could be the best performing sector over the next 2 to 3 years. Because
good.
That's what they've done every other time. So sincerely, excluding gold, gold marches to its own tune, to its own beat. So excluding gold, yes, I think we will see something with any luck. But certainly the SA Inc. shares have done well and will probably continue to do quite well. Obviously, there are exceptions there, like Pick and Pay, obviously.
Hmm.
But yeah, generally, the SA Inc. shares have actually done very well.
Good. Okay. That was a very tidy little wrap-up of JSE of the last couple of weeks, Wayne, so thank you for that. But what I want to focus on today is your view on a particular stock or stocks dominating an index which has, for example, the S&P 500, hundreds and hundreds of stocks in it, the NASDAQ, the same. Now, of course, I'm looking at NVIDIA because NVIDIA's numbers come out after the US market closed this evening. What problems are presented to asset managers like yourself and retail investors and also people that invest in funds managed by people like yourself? Because I can remember the days when Naspers and Prosus were, I think, something like 25% of the all share. And it makes things difficult because even though you think their evaluations are too lofty, if you're not in it, then you're falling behind your peers. And so it goes on. So it's a self-perpetuating philosophy that these things go up, or self-perpetuating momentum. It goes up because it goes up because it's so heavily weighted in the index. Is this dangerous when it comes to NVIDIA, the big tech stocks, and don't forget the weight loss pharma companies as well? What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Look, ultimately, it doesn't matter what hype there is. It doesn't matter what sectors are flying. It doesn't matter what new age talk you get. All of this. Ultimately, profitability, positive cash flow, and dividends determine your share price.
Yes.
Now, in the shorter term, and this could be 5 years, 10 years, shorter term in stock market terms, a share can get hyped. Either up or down, by the way. But ultimately, if the share is hyped up like NVIDIA, it's got to produce profits at some stage. The market can forget about profits for an extremely long time, as long as revenue is growing, you know, as long as the company makes all the right moves, as long as it's in the right sector, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But ultimately, the ones that don't make profits, a lot of them just disappear. Eh? They just think of the dot-com bubble. Those companies never made profits. They just disappeared. Think of all the platinum shares we used to have in 2007, 2006. They just disappeared. So you've got to make profits. Because if you don't, that's not so. The stock market, over long periods of time, values profits. It puts a value on future profits, essentially. But as I said, in the shorter term, a company can make a loss, a company can make no profits, and the share price can still go up enormously, but ultimately that has got to turn into profit. So that's NVIDIA. On the other side, you know, the share market can punish a company that makes a loss or profits are declining as though they're never going to make profits again. You know, they're heavy cyclical companies. And then when they do, the share price goes up. So the market over long periods of time is actually extremely efficient at pricing shares. You know, there's always been short-term news, but it's actually extremely efficient at capitalizing profits, essentially, at appropriate risk-weighted discount rate. So that's all theory, but it's actually market's extremely efficient at doing that. So now on NVIDIA, I mean, just some statistics. I know the share price has come off from the 145, 150 level. I think it's 130, 131, somewhere in that region.
Mm-hmm.
When it was up at the highs, it virtually had the same market capitalization as the whole of the UK index, as the whole of the FTSE. Eh?
Yeah.
It was in a hair's breadth. It was way bigger than Germany and France. And obviously 10 times, 20 times bigger than our market. And their market cap is something like the GDP of Canada, you know, some other number like that. So what that tells you is that extremely good news is built into the share price. And it is the so-called thing priced for perfection.
Yeah.
Now, let's take a step back from that now. Is this just hype on AI and chips? I don't think so. I honestly and truly don't think so. And the best example is the dot-com. If you listed something with dot-com in your name in the early 2000s, your share price just went up. You know, lastchance.com and Pets R Us and all of these things.
Weddings.com was my favorite. People that organize weddings, yeah, got a website and a couple of people wearing camouflage trousers. they listed. That was the late 1990s, not so much 2000, because that was when the Nasdaq crashed. But yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It was a silly time, yeah, let's face it.
Yeah. But in other words, these companies were based on nothing. So NVIDIA's not that. So I don't think this is just a hype, like a lot of those companies were. So the only problem with NVIDIA is the share price. If they come up with disappointing results tonight in relative to market expectations, share price can get clobbered, eh?
Oh, yeah, there's no margin for error.
To buy.
There's no margin for error, Wayne.
If you are, and it's a strange thing to say, if we're lucky and they do disappoint and the share price gets clobbered, it actually will give you a chance to get in at a substantially lower price. Now, whether that's 20%, 15%, I mean, we've seen companies, big companies, fall 20% in a day in the very recent past. So if that does happen, it's time to buy. This whole AI and everything is truly, and I'm not a new age type of person at all.
No,
you know, I'm not a, yeah, but this AI thing is truly going to change how we work and what we do. And it is truly, I mean, even though they spoke about it, how many, 6 years ago, the fourth or fifth, can't remember which industrial revolution it was, but this is now actually on us now. with AI. So it's just a question of maybe the share price has run ahead of fundamentals. And that's the biggest problem. And it is a problem, make no mistake. But that's the biggest problem I can see with NVIDIA.
Let me give you a couple of stats, Wayne.
Yeah.
Your theory is very good. Again, that's the third time I've used it. I must stop. It says here, and this is courtesy of Bloomberg, but the bar looks pretty high for the $3.2 trillion. I'll say that again, $3.2 trillion chipmakers' results, which are due after the US closed. Analysts on average predict NVIDIA will project revenue growth of more than 70% for the current quarter. Investors are gearing up for the big swings in the company's shares. And this is key here, with the options market implying a move of almost 10% in either direction
either
on the day following the results. The stock has rallied 160% this year, 1,000% from its October 22 bear market low, and 3,000% in 5 years. I mean, you've got to sit down when you hear that sort of stuff, haven't you?
No, certainly. Make no mistake about that. And it's highly unlikely to repeat that, by the way. Highly unlikely. Hmm. But it doesn't detract. So, you know, whenever people ask me questions about the market and stuff like that, I say, you've got to separate the company from the share price. You know, you get shares that are totally bombed out, but it's actually a good company. They've either fallen on hard times and will come right, or they're cyclical like commodity shares. Or you get shares where they just go absolutely through the roof and people say it's a good company. It might not be a good company. Just that the share price and the company are two different things. They truly are. And you've got to, I suppose, as an investor, evaluate what you think the future profits are going to do. So if you're growing your revenue 60, 70%, that'll probably be okay for the market in all honesty, because even though you might not be making profits now because you're investing in capital expenditure or you know, increasing your ability to manufacture. In other words, you're spending money, you're incurring expenses.
Yes.
If your revenue grows like that for a couple of years, eventually it just all falls straight to the bottom line, because a lot of these companies, massive fixed cost, they're very little variable cost, it's huge fixed costs. So they can actually generate a lot of profits very, very quickly. So we'll have to see. I mean, I got no clue whatsoever what the results are going to be. And our mutual friend, Mr. Shapiro, I was chatting to him earlier on today.
Yes.
And he said, you know, if he spoke to another friend of his, because he's got friends everywhere.
Well, he calls them friends. I prefer to call them associates in many ways. Well, people have too many friends. But anyway, that's me.
With Shapiro, they probably are friends. Because he's a likable, pleasant person, not like you and I. So they probably are friends.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, that's off the point. A friend of his said, you know, if someone had to give me the NVIDIA results and I had to look at it,
he wouldn't know how to interpret
them. Whether the share price going up or down, yeah.
He said the same to me on Monday. He said, I look at these things and I don't know. It's a toss of a coin because it might be better than expected, worse than expected, in line with expectations. I'm tending to think that even if they get 70%, you'll get a short-term sell-off. The market's positioning itself for very short-term disappointment, even though the numbers we know are going to be spectacular. Final question on this, Wayne, is does it make an asset manager who has a US fund, a US-based fund only, equity fund, long-only fund, does it make his or her life difficult to have an NVIDIA there lurking in the background?
Yes, it does. Now, if we go back to one of my fundamentals of investments, you've got to have a well-diversified portfolio. So if you are in the market, and let's just say you only invest in the S&P 500, and NVIDIA is 20%, you know, if you don't like it, have 15, have 18. If you like it, have 25. But don't have zero if you don't like it, and 40 if you do like it. So in other words, to me, investments is taking the index, whatever that is, whether it's what your competitors own, you know, because you want to beat your competitors if you're right most of the time, or if it's the actual index itself, but you have a benchmark. That's a more correct word. You've got a benchmark that you're trying to outperform. And if you like a company, you just put a little bit more in that company's shares. you don't like a company, you put a little bit less in that company's shares. And if you are on average right 60, 70% of the time, you will outperform because you'll have your bets in the right place. But you should never have a position that if you're wrong, it's going to kill you. That's the biggest danger for investment managers, and that's the biggest danger for investors in total, is you have one position. Either you like a share and you've got too much, or you don't like a share and you've got too little or zero, and that can come up and absolutely kill you. The overwhelming majority of investment managers that I know have been flattened by that one. Well, not the overwhelming majority, virtually every single one that I know, you aren't around anymore. Companies or individuals were flattened by that one factor, in that they didn't take an accumulation of small bets against your benchmark. You took these huge positions. And just on that particular subject, being successful as an investment manager over long time periods shows hopefully some skill or truly incredible luck. I'm talking about over long time periods. But in the shorter term, luck is as important or as influential as skill. So if you outperform in the shorter term, if you're talking 5 years, it's actually quite dangerous for an investment manager, because then you become very cocky about your ability. And then you take that next big bet. Oh, it's going to work because the previous five bets have worked. You take that big bet, it absolutely kills you. And that's what you got to, and that is the biggest single thing you have got to be concerned about and aware of in investments. No one position must be able to kill you relative to your benchmark as to what you're trying to achieve.
Very good advice indeed. Thank you very much. That was today's lesson, according to Wayne McCurry. Now, Wayne, I didn't speak to you last week, as I said earlier on, and we haven't had a chat about food. Today is probably the last day of summer in the Northern Hemisphere. It's 28 degrees. Maybe in the town, it's probably a couple of degrees more. So let's say it's hit 30 degrees. Now, my attitude towards this is not to have lovely salads and jugs of lemonade and things like that. My attitude is to have something hot and spicy. So
yes, I'm going for
my chili, which I use the normal things, you know, onions and garlic fried up, maybe a tiny little bit of ground celery in there as well. And I use three different types of chili. I use chili flakes, chili powder, and chopped dried chilies, the really fierce ones. I put all that together. Minced beef, of course. And once the beef is browned, then you put in a lovely tin of chopped tomatoes, some tomato paste, get it all going. Then you add some steak, you know. I mean, not an expensive cut, a little bit of rump or something, chopped into cubes.
Yeah.
But you cook them beforehand a little bit and then bung that in as well to give it some texture, to give it some oomph. And, of course, the one that we've spoken about before, which you don't approve of, but I'm still going ahead with it, and that is a teaspoon of coffee grounds go in there. I know you don't like that, but
I don't like coffee.
No, but it doesn't taste like coffee. It just enhances it somehow. It was a Jamie Oliver thing when he was going around America and he went to Texas and he was taught that. So he does it. And anyway, it works well for me. I've got the guacamole, the taco shells and everything. And I'm going to sit outside and I'm going to sweat my you-know-whats off as the evening goes on. It'll only go down to about 24
you
tonight.
You actually get cool like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Eating something hot when it's hot and you start to sweat a bit, it actually cools you down. It's actually delicious. Now, look, the world's biggest rugby fan also makes a very, very nice spicy mince with guacamoles, with all the chilies, with everything, also in taco shells, but the hard taco shells, not the soft ones.
No, of course. I forgot the kidney beans. I didn't mention the kidney beans.
Actually bought some, is it Endomani beans?
Yes, Endomani beans are really just soya beans.
Yeah, well, they were very tasty. That's the last time we had that one.
Okay.
But seeing as though we're drifting into summer here at a rapid pace, although Friday's forecast to be relatively cool. I mean, we hit 30 here, 28, 30 yesterday, I think. And Friday's forecast to be 17, but be back at 24 on Sunday again, because we're all going to see the rugby on Saturday.
Oh, of course, yes.
Staying over at the Troyville Hotel, which is incredibly festive. So I can give you a report back about all the Portuguese delicacies that they've got there. But the one thing they have got there, and I'm drifting slightly off, is they got those little Portuguese custard tarts. I think they're called natas.
Yeah.
And they are delicious. And you can eat as many as you like. But anyway, so now because we're drifting into summer here, we had a braai vleis yesterday. Sunday. We had a braai vleis on Sunday. And we did boerewors as per normal, which the world's biggest likes boerewors. And then we did a couple of little lamb chops with a bit of seasoning on it, which is all very nice. But then I got myself a small fillet steak, like a 300-gram fillet block.
Look at you.
You want to call it.
That's extravagant for a braai.
Yeah, but then what I did was one of my specialities, which I must admit the world's biggest doesn't like. But you take chicken liver pate and you smear it on the outside. And then you take bacon and put that on the outside, held in place with toothpicks, and then you cook it off the flame. So in other words, you're almost on the Weber, but you're almost like putting it in the oven. You know, it's not exposed to direct heat. And you let that cook, and you've got a little thermometer to test the temperature on the inside.
Yeah.
And it is truly, and I like rare.
Yes, me
not
too.
Probably medium rare, to be honest. A little bit more towards medium than rare. But this was truly, truly delicious. You know, we had some mealies on the side as well and some garlic bread. And so it was a lovely braai.
Chicken liver pate on a fillet steak.
Chicken liver pate with bacon, to the outside.
Ooh, have you made an appointment with your GP so that that person can test your blood pressure and cholesterol for next week?
I'm one of these very fortunate guys. I've got no blood pressure, cholesterol issues. All hereditary, but I'm extremely fortunate.
Okay, well, it sounds very delicious. And just on a final note, you mentioned the Troyville Hotel. Isn't that in Jewell Street? Is it in Jewell Street, Johannesburg?
I think it's off Jewell Street. It's not Albertina Sisulu, but yes.
Oh, okay. All right, and then you go to the game.
And it's lovely, and it's 500 meters from Ellis Park.
Yeah.
Whatever it's called now, Emirates Park, whatever it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And you stay over there, and they give you the buffet lunch. And there you got all the Portuguese delicacies, the peri-peri chicken, the steak done in cubes, forget its name, spicy rice, peri-peri chicken livers, and then as many prawns as you can eat.
You see, this is serendipity. Is it serendipity or synchronicity? One of those words beginning with an S and ending in a Y. I had a nostalgia trip about prawns. I remember when I first arrived in South Africa in 1988, Reuters took me for lunch, and we went to the south. We went to a place called Rosettenville, and we went to a Portuguese restaurant there, very traditional.
La
Perenha. I went to La Perenha, and I'd never seen prawns like this. I mean, they were like puppies, these things. They were so big. And in England, I'd never seen a prawn before, like these little shrimps you get in a prawn cocktail. But these things blew my mind.
England's got no idea.
No, rubbish.
They got no idea.
But the point is that it's moved. It's still got a takeaway in Rosettenville, and now the main restaurant has moved to Melrose Arch, which is, of course, is what's his name, Shapiro's a stomping ground.
Yeah, that's his stomping ground. He's the mayor of Melrose Arch, boy.
You should get him to take you to lunch at Perenha, because I'm sure it still retains its decent food. Yeah.
I went there for my annual get together with all my ex Momentum and First Rand friends, and we went to La Perenha. Well, the day they opened, it happened to coincide with that.
Yeah.
And the chow was good.
Good. And finally,
I went to the one where it was still deep in the south. I've also been to that one.
Yes.
Right next door to the race course, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. What's the race course called there?
I forget his name.
Gosh, something Park. I don't know. Anyway,
it's not Turfontaine, isn't it?
Yes, it was Turfontaine. Exactly right, Turfontaine. No. I don't know if it still exists now, but anyway. And the other one that I used to go to for prawns and the occasional beer was the Radium Beer Hall on Louis
Bourtin. I've been to Radium Beer Hall.
Yeah, it's a good place.
I've been there actually relatively recently. The owner died about 2 years ago. So when I say relatively recently, I went there probably 3 years ago, but the owner died. And I used to go to the Radium Beer Hall often in the late 90s, often.
Probably so.
And decided to go there, and it was great.
Simple, but good.
It was great, except if there was one negative, to find parking anywhere close to that place.
Yeah, and finding
you park in the street, that's a long way away.
And finding your car not stolen when you got out of there as well, because area.
No, I don't think it's that bad. But anyway, maybe I'm too optimistic. But we went there. A whole bunch of us from our office went there, and we had a great lunch. The peri peri chicken was top draw. It was from the top draw. It was really really good. So I actually rate the Radium Beer Hall. I think next time I go, I'm just going to catch an Uber because you cannot park there.
Okay, good advice.
You just cannot find parking. And then they've got a little room upstairs at the Radium Beer Hall, and they've got bands playing there on a Friday night. I wasn't there on a Friday night, but they've got bands playing there on a Friday night. And I see that Troyville has also now started getting bands coming in there and having little music sessions as well, which with all of our booking for the hotel for Saturday rugby, they sort of like put us on their mailing list, so we get all the little activities that they get up to there. And they've got they've now started to get bands in to come and play there. That also might be a very very pleasant outing.
Good luck with the rugby on Saturday, Wayne. I shall think of you munching away. It's a culinary as well as a sporting occasion for you.
Totally.
I know that. Yeah,
and then,
good.
One of the best things about it is actually after the game, because when you're in the stadium, you actually don't see that much of the game per se. You know, they've got the big screens, but, you know, they're not that great. And, you know, on the field, and people are quite small. So you get the atmosphere and you obviously know what's happening. But then afterwards, you go back to the Troyville Hotel. And they rebroadcast the game on huge screens in their like sports bar. And there you see everything, you know, you get the scrum up close and all the TV. So then you really see the game and you can almost relive it again. So hopefully we win. And then at night time you got a choice between a Boerewors roll or a Prego roll with chips.
Prego roll every time for me, but that's just me. Wayne, I've got to go now, but thank you very much. I'm going to get that chili going and I shall report back next week on how it went. Wayne McCurry is a portfolio manager at FNB Wealth and Investment in Johannesburg, and that was Wayne on Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organisation, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.